Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom up, America. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the City of Angels, home of John Ramos's undefeated, undisputed best team in the NFC, the LA Rams, who got an absolute gift from Pete Carroll because Sean McVay was going to go all Jason Garrett late in that game. More on that to come. Chargers beat the Raiders because the Raiders suck. Whether they have more home fans than the Chargers in Carson, it doesn't matter. Chargers, probably the best 3-2 team in the league. But once again, a missed extra point. You start scratching your head. Missed kicks. I can't recall more missed kicks. Makeable kicks. Mason Crosby misses not one, not two, not three, not four. Five kicks, four field goals, and an extra point. What? Man, we got a lot to get to. Major League Baseball, Braves fight off the Doyers because they can't field an easy fly ball with two outs and ends up sparking a five-run inning. So you get a little Hakuna Matata. Grand slam. The Rockies are already out of the playoffs. Like, what? And I still don't know why Major League Baseball is choosing to play games on Sundays against the NFL, because I'm guessing many of you are like, wait, they had baseball games yesterday? Yeah, they did. That's okay. We'll get to some baseball. Let's talk some football. There's a bunch of expressions that I have learned and taken from my colleagues, people I like, people I respect. Okay. The one that Chris Carter gets credit for, which is, by the way, accurate, is you got to have a fall guy, right? That was a good one. You got to have a fall guy. But By saying you got to have a fall guy to, I believe it was the rookie symposium back in the day, and that ended up getting broadcast. It wasn't supposed to be broadcast. It was actually on the NFL's website for like a year before people were like, oh, you can't say that. It's one of those, you can say the truth, you just got to be careful where and to who you say the truth. Which is what I guess defenders of Odell Beckham Jr. would be saying now. What I will tell you is the absolute positive truth, and I'm once again going to take from my good pal, Chris Carter, who he can walk it and he can talk it because he's lived it. He nearly drank himself out of the NFL, and that had an incredible resurgence and became a Hall of Fame player. Now he's a broadcaster. But I'll never forget this saying, and it's about guys that get drafted in the NFL that have checks against them, marks against them. And he says, and this is a great poignant point. Money doesn't make you something. Money doesn't change you. It makes you more of who you are. And there is no more obvious person to point that out than Odell Beckham Jr. Look, the Giants offseason was a complete joke. It was a joke. They had a chance to draft a quarterback with the second pick in the draft. And as many will tell you, and history tells you, they almost never draft in the top five of the draft. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Sam Darnold, who many people, myself included, believe was the best quarterback prospect, fell to them at number two. Additionally, they could have stuck a dagger in the heart of the team that shares the stadium with them, the Jets, who moved three first-round picks, second-round picks, and traded first-round picks to sit behind them at the third pick. But an effort to protect Eli Manning because they thought he still had gas in the tank, they hired Pat Shurmur, who's an offensive guru. They chose to draft a running back instead of drafting a quarterback. And they, of course, rightfully tried to fix their offensive line, which was a disaster. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they also decided to pay Odell Beckham Jr. because, hey, who's better as a quarterback's best friend than a top five wide receiving talent? But Odell Beckham Jr. is not smart enough to know what he apparently does not know, which is, dude, everybody says they want the truth and they just don't, because you can't talk about the places that you work. And it's obvious he's not married Because what Odell Beckham Jr. did when sitting down with Josina Anderson and Lil Wayne, it was like, why is Lil Wayne here? That was weird. Do you want to include your agent in the interview? No. Do you want to include your girlfriend in the interview? No. Do you want to include, I don't know, your preacher in the interview? No. How about Lil Wayne? That sounds like a good idea. Talk that one, say that one to the mirror and see how you react when you hear it in the mirror. I said this when they gave him the new contract, like 3 months of good behavior. They wanted to get rid of him. They were tired of him. Between the antics with the other team, between the antics with his own team, between the people he was hanging out with, and the video of him with a woman and what looked like cocaine, they were like, we're done. And he's like, you know what? No. I'm better. I'm good now. I'm not healthy, but I'll work out on the side. I'll act like I'm a leader. Then he sits down 4 weeks into the season and chooses to, what he said essentially is telling your wife when she asks you, do I look fat in these pants? You say, you know what? You do. You should go to the gym. You should eat less carbs. You should drink more water because you look overweight. Honey. He didn't just call out Eli Manning. Go back and listen to the interview. He talks about the energy that they need and that they need heart. What he's saying is, we don't play hard. We don't practice hard. Our team has no heart, no courage. That's what he said. And then he said, our two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback stinks, and our new coach doesn't get me the ball, isn't scheming to get me the football. The craziest part about his spat with honesty, right? It was almost as if, remember 80s movies where they would invest, they would get a guy, they would sequester him in a room, they'd shine some white light on him, and the guy would start sweating, and all of a sudden, like, the white light would make him tell the truth. You guys remember that? Like spy movies now, they inject you with something, you just can't tell a lie. He was asked whether he was proud of their record, and he said yes. So he lied about whether he's proud, because nobody's proud of being 1-3. They're 1-3 at the time, now they're 1-4, after Graham Gano makes a 50-million-yard field goal to beat them. So he lies about being proud of their record, but then tells the utter truth from his perspective about all that's wrong in the Giants organization. Huh? Say what? But that's because Odell Beckham Jr. isn't a different guy since he got paid. Because money doesn't change you. It just makes you more of who you are. Oh, that guy's a DB since winning the lottery. No, he was a DB before he won the lottery. Now it's just a lot more obvious. That's what took place. And anyone defending him has not only never played in team sports, but they probably haven't worked in a corporation. Right? Like, oh, all we do is we want athletes to be honest. Oh, okay. Not to the detriment of others who you work with, who you need in order to help you succeed. Imagine that. And this is not the truth, but imagine if somebody said, hey, Gottlieb, you worked. What is it like to work at Fox? Oh, you know, it's great. You know, John Ramos presses the wrong button like 3 times an hour. Ryan Music, he's constantly worrying about where he's getting married in like 3 years. Dan Beyer, he's on Twitter instead of updated. Like, right? Like, again, these things aren't the truth. But if they were the truth, imagine how that would go over. Like, oh, finally some honesty. Yeah, those are the people you work with. Those are the people who make you look better. Those are the people who are going to help you. I mean, you couldn't do that at home. My wife's a lousy cook. She's not a particularly good wife, and she's usually too tired when I come to bed. Oh, but I'm super happy being married. That's what he did. Me, I'm great. I've never been better. Best shape of my life. You know, I'm a good provider. That's what Odell Beckham Jr. committed. And that's why his head coach is furious with him. Furious. And if you want to base his success based upon his productivity, which he was productive yesterday against the Panthers, fine. But the harm he has done has been irreparable to the Giants.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's a lot about the Raiders taking over the StubHub Center, which is in Carson, which is kind of the home of Raider fandom, and that appeared accurate. As a matter of fact, the Chargers really struggled early on the game. The opening drive, scored 3 points, but then they were struggling to get things going. That's when they found our next guest on a kind of a botched play, and he took it 40 yards to the house, broke the game open, and changed. The final score is 26-10, but the Raiders scored a touchdown when they weren't set offensively. The Chargers missed an extra point, and so it was a lot bigger whooping than 26-10. Austin Eckler joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What has this been like to play home games in the NFL but to not have an overwhelming support of the fans?
Yeah, first off, I just want to thank you for having me. But the support, you know, it's it's been a struggle as far as, you know, fan support. It's not ideal, I would say. We kind of talked about it the other day, that what you mentioned, we're kind of in the heart of, you know, Raiders fans, and so we knew the stadium would probably be all black like it was, and so, you know, it's just time for your team to come together even more, and, you know, because we're playing for our teammates and a few fans that we got enough fans.
You know, it's funny because what I've been told is that, look, this is your second year. You've seen this before. It wasn't as bad last year because the Raiders were, you know, in last place by the time you guys got them at home and beat them. But then a lot of the new guys, especially against the Niners, they ran out and they were like, wait, what? Like, it was the new guys that had to make the adjustment. What do you tell them?
You just got to let them know how it's going to be. And, you know, that's just the reality of, you know, what we're going to be dealing with. And so come out, hey, like you said, we're playing for each other and a few fans in the stands.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's especially for, you know, a guy like Derwin, you know, he's at Florida State. They got all the fans and everything. You come out here, he's like, dang, we don't even have, you know, a stadium full of our own fans, you know. So it's an adjustment for definitely all of our new guys. I mean, it's just for us in general.
You march down the field and you get a field goal. You start kind of feeling good. Your defense gets a stop. You get it back and you punt. You punt the next, I think it was 3 possessions. And then Phillip gets the ball snapped to him and he drops it. And then he picks it up, and there's a rush come from left-hand side. You're just out there. It's a screen pass. Was that where you were supposed to be, or did you just kind of make it up on the fly?
Nah, yeah, I was supposed to be out there, and it was a hot pass right now. It's a hot route, so he was supposed to get it out right away. But like you said, he bobbled it and ended up taking a little longer and was a little closer than it should have been. But, you know, ended up working out.
It's 1st and 10 from the Oakland 44. You catch the ball, and for people who haven't seen it, you make one cut to your right, and you got a couple linemen clearing the way, plus 2 Raiders run into each other. Like, as soon as you cut to the right, did you see the house? Did you know that this thing all of a sudden is going to open up?
You know, I cut to the right, yeah. Like you said, you know, they ran into each other. It was perfect. Then Keenan Allen actually had a nice block down the field to just get that touchdown block. And then past then, there was just green grass.
Has Antonio Gates told you guys you're all crazy for going to training camp, right? He doesn't go to camp. He comes out. He's still catching footballs. He's probably got to be looking at you like, what were you guys doing for that month and a half?
You know, he's a little old. He's got the experience. You know, he can do that. You know, some of you guys are still trying to develop ourselves. So, a little different atmosphere, a little different boat.
Austin Eckler joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You're a guy that they split out wide. They even, I saw the play where was Melvin scored on a touchdown. Or no, it was a 1st down. He lined up as fullback. When was the last time did Melvin Gordon has he lined up at fullback ever before?
I don't think he's ever done that in the game. No. So that was a little different package, give the defense a little different look.
Yeah, for people who didn't see, they were going for it on, I'm going to say it was 4th and short, and you guys either call a timeout or come out, and you were back at running back. Melvin's at fullback, and it was just a quick handoff to Melvin. He got the first down. Matter of fact, the CBS announcer said that's probably the first time Melvin Gordon's ever lined up at fullback. So there's some creativity with how you guys are being used. Have you Have you hit the potential for it? Because you guys have an incredible group in terms of the weaponry, and obviously not having Hunter has changed kind of this group. But yeah, seeing all the different places they've lined you up, have you guys yet to hit your peak level of production offensively?
You know, I think we're going to keep changing it up every week, you know, so we can't get schemed. And so I think our level of production is going to keep going up because we're going to keep changing it up. So we're going to give defense a bunch of different looks, and I think we're going to have a lot of success with it.
You okay with giving away carries to Melvin Ingram?
I don't know about that one. If you would have got the end zone, it might have been different. But now I'm looking back, I'm like, I don't know, Bill.
Yeah, it's like, look, you got two really good running backs back there, and then they bring in your defensive end in to try and score a touchdown. I'm sure fantasy owners weren't very happy about that one.
You know, like I said, I'm sitting out once I was back, but hey, we worked on it in practice. We thought it was going to be a good play. Just didn't end up working that one.
Austin Eckler joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How did this happen for you? How did you go from a guy who, you know, most of America hadn't heard of in college to, you know, now almost like a household name in the league, right? Like Western State in Colorado. Where is Western State in Colorado?
It's a little mountain town up in the Rocky Mountains. There's about 5,000 people in the town, about 2,500 people in the school.
When did you know you were going to stick in the league?
I'd say about midway through the first season is when physically I felt like I could play at this level. And, you know, I didn't know how much success I would have or anything like that, but that's kind of the factor when – you come into the league, you're not sure physically, especially in my situation, coming from a smaller school, say, okay, that's the biggest thing, guys, is like, can you physically play in this league? And about halfway through is when I was like, yeah, I can physically do this. And then since then, I've been able to make some plays here and there, and, you know, I'm not looking back.
You're from Eaton, Colorado, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's in Eaton? It's a tiny town. It's like 5,000 people, less than 5,000 people. What's in it? Like, where's the place where everybody goes to hang out?
It's a little farm town, you know. Big on the high school sports. We had always had a great support from the local town. But that's just one of those towns where everyone knows everyone. And, you know, kind of my group that I grew up with, we played all the sports together. So we were really close, really tight. That helps us all out. Actually, one of my tight ends is the long snapper for the Raiders that we played together and graduated together. And so that was pretty cool to, you know, see him on the field. Yesterday.
That's pretty amazing. Two guys from a town of 4,500 people that made it to the NFL. So you still didn't tell me, like, is there a main street in town and is there one place where you guys go have pizza or burgers? Like, is
one stoplight.
One stoplight. Okay, my wife's from a one stoplight town. Is it a Sonic? Is there a Whataburger? What's the joint where you go grab some meat?
I think they have McDonald's and a Taco Bell, but then they have all like the mom and pop shops, you know, little stores for, you know, apparel, things like that, and then like little restaurants here and there. It's actually good. They put a hotel in there. It's along like a highway. It's like one of those towns, like you're driving along a highway and you look around and like, dang, who would live here? It's like one of those.
Now, is there a sign up for you yet? Did they go this Eaton, Colorado, home of Austin Eckler? Took a ball 44 yards to the house against the Raiders?
Probably not. No, because we have, I don't know if you know Mitch Unrein. You know, he's playing, I think, out in Tampa. You know, he's been playing for like 8 or 9 years. He had a couple signs up. I remember when I went back one time, he had a sign up. He was doing some business in the town, something like that. So I don't know if I got one yet.
Not yet. There's still plenty of time. Look, you guys are 3-2. The two losses against two undefeated teams, the Chiefs and the Rams. Now you get a chance against a Browns team. That's won a game. They're 2-2. What's got to change with this team to get you to where you beat the good teams?
I think it's our consistency. You know, that's the thing you'll hear out throughout the entire league. But it's a true thing. Whoever can be more consistent on that day is probably going to win the game. And you know, we have, like you talked about earlier, we have the tools to, you know, be an explosive offense and things of that nature. And so it's just going to come down to, are we making the plays on that day?
Hey, continued health and success. Safe travels to Cleveland. Thanks for joining us, and we'll give a big shout-out to everybody in Eaton, Colorado.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. You have a good one.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We kind of set it up for you Friday as Connor's a striker, like a stand-up striker and a counterpuncher, whereas Habib, he, he'll take you to the ground. He is a grappler, like by you know, basically by birth. His dad was, and that's how he's. And there's actually video of him wrestling a bear as a kid. That's a bear cub, but it's still a bear. I thought it was awesome. Although I thought it was awesome. But then everyone, all anyone's talking about is the brawl afterwards, right? This is the power of the image of a guy going into the stands and people from the stands coming out of the stands and climbing over a cage. And by the way, the whole idea of a cage is to keep people out or to keep people in. That cage, there's been no bigger, better sale for not building a wall than what just happened at UFC, right? Doesn't keep people out, doesn't keep people in. Doesn't work. But I understand that people don't like the grappling style, true wrestling style. Get a guy to the ground, make him tap out style. It can be, it's hard. It doesn't translate well on TV. It's one of the reasons that wrestling, which is one of the original five core sports of the Olympics, why it struggles to be on TV. It's an amazing sport. You ever had a kid? My son did it for a year. I want to put him back in it. You ever had a kid do it? Like, man, it's an incredible sport. Incredible. But it's hard to televise. It's hard to watch because you can't see or understand some of the moves or some of the counterattacks and all the stuff going on. But like, he checks every other box though for a guy who should be a villain. Right? Like, he's Muslim, he's Russian, now he fights a style nobody likes, and he'll go into the stands. But I put the blame for that one on Dana White and on Conor McGregor. Right? Like, this, you talk about a dude enough, his religion, his family, his country. Like, you can tell, in boxing, guys are all in on it, right? Just a way to bring attention to the fight. You get a hardcore Russian dude whose dad was a grappler and he's been trained like since birth to be this dude, be this guy. They're not wired like normal humans. Like, ha ha, they can't laugh it off. That's why he went into the stands. And you may think that looks cool. Like, oh, that's awesome. No. Not awesome. Imagine some multimillionaire or billionaire sitting up close and their wife, you know, tears an Achilles tendon or, you know, get people fall into her or somebody gets even worse, dies. Not funny then. Not funny. But that's, you know, Dana let Conor do all this talking. You know, show up late for a press conference where Habib leaves. Like, he's not in on all that. He's a fighter. Look, I'm an anti-pit bull guy, not because I have any negative feelings about dogs, but some pit bulls have been trained through the years to fight. It's their natural, innate instinct. They can't help themselves. And that's what he is. He's basically like a human pit bull. You hear him talk afterwards. He's sorry. He's apologetic. He's like, but, you know, I couldn't take it. Watching Habib go into the crowd thinking, holy cow, somebody might be really hurt or somebody could die. Like, he didn't even mean to, but he's a trained weapon.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The idea that the Philadelphia Eagles, as soon as they got Carson Wentz back, would maintain the level of focus and really dominance as they had last year before he got hurt, and even the Super Bowl they were able to win when he got hurt, is completely obtuse to the reality of sport, the reality of life. Yes, they had players injured whom they have mostly gotten back from injury this year. And yes, they still, on paper, have a dynamic front seven defensively. And they have some good pieces offensively, and Carson Wentz, when right, should have won the MVP last year. But he's only in his third year, and he's coming off of knee surgery. they did employ Jay Ajayi, who the Dolphins jettisoned midseason, and they got the best of Jay Ajayi. Why? He was trying to prove the entire league wrong. They had a whole team full of people that was trying to prove everybody wrong. They were playing that underdog card. That underdog card is great when you're actually the underdog. Now you're the favorite, and it's different. You don't sneak up on anybody. You don't have anything more to prove. You may say, I got something to prove, but you really don't. I've already proved it. They won a Super Bowl with one arm tied behind their back. Nick Foles is their quarterback. Right? Won a Super Bowl. So, and they beat the Patriots. However you want to look at that Patriots team, not playing Malcolm Butler and Brandon Cooks got hurt in the first quarter, didn't play. That doesn't matter. They beat the mighty Patriots in the Super Bowl without their starting quarterback. What will they do when they have their quarterback back? The answer is lose at home to the Vikings. A Vikings team that is massively depleted by injuries. This is a shell of the Vikings. And the Vikings, Dan Bailey missed two kicks before he hit the game winner. It wasn't like Dan Bailey was like 54, 48, 42. Like, damn, they lost to him. Like, look, you tip your cap. Sometimes you lose to a guy, got a hot kicker. They threw a couple, completed a couple. No, Vikings won the game. Vikings beat them. Vikings beat their ass. Do you know why? Because they are everybody's biggest game. It doesn't mean that you didn't get up for Eagles games or to play at Link and play in Philadelphia in the past, but you got to admit, it's different now. Right? Who called the game? Do you know who called the game? Who are the broadcasters for the game? Want to guess? Go ahead, Ryan Music.
Was it Buck and Aikman?
I believe it was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Do you know why? Because the number one team calls the number one game. The number one game doesn't usually involve Minnesota and Philadelphia. It just doesn't. It doesn't. Unless the Philadelphia Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champions. And now they're the number one. They get Buck and Aikman. And Aaron Andrews. They get the first team. They also got the Vikings. They got everybody's attention. Because the last thing you want is to not only get beaten, but get beaten when everybody's paying attention and by the defending Super Bowl champions who want to run their mouths a little bit. We don't want that. Oh, yeah, by the way, last time we came in here, we lost the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum. Listen, we're the same. We get the same level of intent. That's fine. The rest of the league does not view you the same. You are not the underdog, and it is the hunted is different than the hunter. It is completely different in terms of your level. If you go to Vegas, right? And if you're the one guy who's smart enough to get up, get a lead, get up $500, and then take $400 off the table, put it in your pocket, and go like, or give it to somebody, walk away. You're not, and then you're just playing with house money. You're not going to play as tight with that house money. You're not. But when you play with your own money, when your rent's on the line, you are tight, you are nervous, your attention to every card being flipped over, every different tell at a table, your chip count's low, you're paying attention to everything. I'd love to say that the best of the best, they win and they just keep that level of focus. Like, there's a reason that the Patriots move on from guys and they keep getting guys you've never heard of. But if you thought the Philadelphia Eagles were going to be the exact same team, and I will grant you, injuries really to Alshon, that was a big thing. Carson Wentz coming off an ACL. You're not the same right away. It takes you 6-7 games, maybe even a year before you're actually back. But that offensive line is not good, not blocking people. And if you can handle their pass rush, their defensive backfield's not good. But more than anything, it's just a different world when you're wearing that crown. When you're walking in and you got what everybody else wants, they're coming at you a little bit harder. They're preparing a little bit more. And it matters at a different, little bit higher level than it matters to them.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's get to Trent Dilfer, who's a Super Bowl champion, frequent contributor to the show. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. We were just talking about Philadelphia and the Eagles and how it's different when you're the Super Bowl champions and how people prepare for you differently. and you may not think you're preparing differently, but you are, in fact. How much does it change when you win the big game?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, Doug. I do think, you know, you have a giant target on your chest each week. People have studied you all off season. There's an extra level of preparation. But I also think, you know, that those Eagles players and coaches had a very different experience this offseason. They had access to more stuff. They had more distractions, people pouring perfume on them everywhere they went. And just human nature is you're going to start believing it. You're going to start believing that you're going to come back the next season and it's just going to happen all over again. And so I think that's why it's so hard for these teams when they have success to come back the next year and match the previous year's success outside of the Patriots. And I think what the Patriots have done, what every team needs to do a better job of modeling, is they reinvent themselves each year. And they don't rest on the previous year's successes. And they know very well that the challenges are even more difficult the following year after having success. And I think all these things add up, and the Eagles just have not handled the success of last year very well.
Okay, but now what about in terms of their play? Why is their offensive line struggling so badly?
You know, I think there's a lot of reasons. But to me, the biggest thing is they've lost that ability in must run situations. They can run the ball, but the must run, when everybody knows you're going to run, that extra physicality, that ability to look across the line of scrimmage and say, hey, we're running it right now and you try to stop us. I think when you're able to do that, it sets up all the other things they like to do in their offense, especially the RPOs. They're a very big RPO team. Teams don't have to honor those RPOs if there's not the threat of that physicality in the run game. I think that's the biggest thing. I do think since Carson's come back, he's held the ball a little long too. I don't see him making as crisp decisions early in plays as I did last year. Part of that's probably the limited offseason, limited training camp. But he seems to be holding the ball a little bit longer than last year, and all those things start adding up, and it looks like the offensive line's just a disaster. But when really it's a sum of a lot of different things.
Let's go to last night. Dallas Cowboys, 4th and 1 from the Texans 43-yard line, and Jason Garrett decides to punt. What was your reaction when he made that decision?
I understood it. You know, I'm not saying they're freaking out about it. I understood why he did it. You know, they're trying to create an identity as a football team of defense first, control the ball, built around Ezekiel Elliott, and be opportunistic in the passing game. So it fits kind of what they're trying to be. Now, personally, I'm a big believer in this new, you know, what is it, momentum of going for it on a lot of fourth downs. And the numbers are in your favor, and I think at that part, that time of the game, that part of the field, personally, I think he should have gone for it. And I bet you he's regretting the decision this morning. But I also understood in context of what the Cowboys are this year, why they decided to punt and pin and try to play defense.
Yeah, and it wasn't like the Texans were marching up and down the field. And I do think that people don't realize maybe 43-yard line. Here's what I take from it. You and me, we probably go for it, right? We got a special play. We got a special group of plays for just that sort of situation that we try and execute, and we go for it. On the other hand, if you don't get it, you're one or two completions away from losing the game, as opposed to if you kick it and you do it right, now all of a sudden you're, you know, two or three plays from getting the football back and winning the game.
Yeah, and I was watching our buddy Tim Hasselbeck today on TV, and he made a great argument for why to punt it. They've been stinking in the run game. They were getting manhandled up front.
Yep.
The edges were being set by the Texans. So when you're seeing that as a head coach, one, okay, we're not going to run the ball. We just lost yardage on third down. Two, okay, let's bootleg. It's been hard bootlegging. They've had a hard time getting back out and breaking contains. So really all those short yardage plays that you would go to, you know, the way the game's going is like, we're not going to be able to execute these. Okay, well, let's throw a slant receiver. Who? Who's your big alpha receiver that can go in and body up first man and make the play? So I can kind of understand it more based on how the game was, the temperament of the game. It seemed to me like, and I'm sure Jason Garrett felt the same way, we're just getting our butts kicked. We have a better chance to pump this thing down, play good defense, and get it back in good field position and start over again.
Trent Dilfer joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. It feels like Derek Carr regressed yesterday. Am I wrong?
Honestly, I have not seen the whole game. I've just seen highlights. Three end zone interceptions is three too many. One's a lot. Like, if you play a season and you throw one interception end zone, that's a lot. He's throwing three. I think that's the biggest issue. He's a very, very gifted passer. I kind of like what they're trying to do offensively. But it seems, I think Gruden mentioned this about the try too hard, it seems like there's some anxiety in his game. You look at the interceptions he's thrown, you look at the first down interceptions he's thrown, you look at kind of the situations when they haven't been able to put points on the board, and it appears to me that there's a little anxiety in his game. Very correctable. I think he will. He's a very talented player. But so far this season, it has not been his best football, and especially in critical moments.
Drew's probably going to pass Peyton's mark tonight. How has he been able to do this, right? You're not supposed to be able to either be that small or that old and be this effective. How has the Drew Brees thing happened?
That's a great question. I mean, he's the ultimate pro. I'll start there. You know, the common denominator when you talk about the Mannings and the Bradys and the Rivers and the Breezes and whoever you want to put on your list, they're just the ultimate pros. They just out-prepare everybody else. They have a beautiful mind for the game. I think the synergy he has with Sean Payton has really helped, and he mentioned that in an interview as well, as there's so many people to thank, and Sean's one of them. I mean, just the belief the Saints had in him after his time in San Diego, Sean Payton especially, that simpatico relationship he has with the play caller for all these years. He's obviously very talented. He's a very gifted passer. He's a phenomenal foot athlete. I mean, people don't give him enough credit for, especially in his younger years, what a great athlete he was. And I just think he's one of those passers that kind of created his own way of doing it. And he didn't try to be like anybody else. He just tried to be the best version of himself. And it's become a pretty awesome version. I have nothing but admiration for the man and the player. And it's been fun because you know what I do with the high school kids too. We use him as teaching tape. Like, we use Drew Brees as one of our best examples of how to play the game, how to pass, how to play the position of quarterback. He just kind of does. He checks every box. If there's 30 boxes to check in being a great quarterback, he checks all 30.
Trent Dilfer joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Follow him on Twitter at Dilfer's Dimes. Check out the Elite11.com, the nation's premier quarterback competition, something that he's run for years. Speaking of the young quarterbacks, rookies 4-0 yesterday. Whose performance was the most impressive of those rookies?
I really liked how Darnold played. Big boy throws, getting full field reads. You know, a couple of those chunk throws he makes down the field, he's not staring them down. You know, he's looking away first. He's getting back to the other side of the field, playing around with safeties, with his eyes. You know, just some graduate level stuff and the big boy throws. I mean, those are some phenomenal throws. And I like how he's handled the adversity so far this season. I just like his overall makeup. I just really believe he's going to be a superstar. And yesterday you could see a lot of it.
Odell Beckham Jr., I was critical of him. Like, look, dude, you can't. When you say your team doesn't have energy, that means your coach isn't getting you to play hard. When you say heart, like you attack how NFL player's heart, like good luck with that in the locker room. And then, of course, he said, I feel like I'm being schemed out. I'm not being utilized well. And he said something about Eli not throwing the ball downfield. Look, I don't think you can utter all of these things, but that's me. I haven't lived in an NFL locker room, only basketball locker rooms. How do you think it was handled within the locker room?
Terrible. I mean, it goes against everything. It goes against everything you want to be as a team player. It rips apart the team dynamics. It creates a bunch of messes for everybody else to come clean up for you. Now Monday and Tuesday days for reflection and getting better and moving on to the next week. Monday and Tuesday, now you're dealt with having to deal with Odell Beckham stuff. You have an answer for him. You know, you're having to deal with excess media stuff. It's a big, hot, stinking pile of you-know-what when a player becomes that selfish and uses that form to express his frustrations. Now, I think everything he said, there's some truth to it.
Sure.
It should have been said privately. to management or coaches or team meetings or something besides a cheesy sit down with Josina for the world to see. It was so bad. I was blown away. And I really like Odell. I've gotten to know him over the years, and I really like the kid. I thought this was just all bad. Yeah. I can't think of any other way of saying just all bad.
Okay, but the naysayer will say, hey, look, they went out, they played, they probably could have won or should have won the game now for a 57-yard field goal. What's the big deal?
I don't care what the naysayer says. I've been in a locker room my entire life. I know how these things play out. It's all bad. There's nothing good is going to come out of that. They may play better. They may do some things that have nothing to do with that. But being part of a football team, no matter how good you are, no matter what your role is, you have to look at it as something bigger than yourself if you're going to be good. And that had everything to do with Odell Beckham Jr. and nothing to do with the team.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Trent Dilfer. Trent, Aaron Rodgers, admittedly, played poorly in the first half. Two fumbles. But now, look, it wasn't his fault. They missed five kicks, four field goals, and an extra point. What do you think is going on with Rodgers, though, that he got off to such a bad start?
I mean, obviously, he's playing banged up. I think that is a big part of it. It's hard. A lot of quarterbacks are doing it, but it's hard to be at your best when physically you're not there. They've had some injuries at receiver, so there's some timing stuff that's going on. I've never been a believer. I know people talk about how good their tackles are in pass protection. I don't see it. I don't think they're a great offensive line. I think that is part of it. But I mean, Aaron plays at such a high level. He has set the bar so high that when it doesn't look the same, people tend to freak out. To me, I thought outside the two fumbles, it seemed like Aaron to me. He seemed like he was playing at a very, very high level, especially in the second half. I don't think this is a reason to panic. I just think that, you know, they're a team, they're an offense that relies so much on him that if he is off at all, it looks much worse than it really is.
Highly leveraged. Highly leveraged. Trent Dilfer. Trent, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
TD joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Check him out on Twitter at Dilfer's Dimes. Check out the Elite11.com, nation's premier quarterback camp. He's the nation's premier quarterback guru.